just showing out, man. You just showing out.
He's been good.
Just stole my song and all of that.
Good.
I love you, man of God. I
say
love you.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Come on,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And he's taking us back home now. He's taking us out of here late in the midnight hour. He's taking us out of here.
Come on.
And he's taking us back home. Taking us out of here late in the midnight hour. God, he did it again. God, he did it again. God, he did it again.
My Lord.
God, come on, help me say it. God, he did it. God, he did it. Testify. God, he did it. He gets the glory. He gets the honor.
Come on, y'all. We got. You know what's so interesting and healthy is that, you know, God has helped us to create a worshiping atmosphere. So we have an atmosphere that's just full of worship.
Yes, God.
And so there are times like just it's hard for me to even bring it down. It goes above me and I'm trying to hold it, but it just keeps rolling and rocking and all of that.
Hallelujah.
Because it's a part of the atmosphere, amen.
Yes,
that's good. That's so good. Y'all ready for the word of God today? Well, I want you to prepare your hearts and your spirits right now. Father, use your servant, your son, before your amazing people today, Lord God. Speak to me and through me. I completely submit myself unto your way and unto your will, Lord God. May I get out the way, and may you do what you desire to do, Lord God. Help somebody to erratically change every form and fashion of their life. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, and the church said, amen, amen. While you're standing, if you would, and those of you who've got your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you return unto me, strengthen your brethren. I need you to find six people, look them dead in the face, and hopefully they're full of passion, and let them know, help, I'm under pressure. I'm under pressure. I'm under pressure. Tell them, help, I'm under pressure. Help. I want to speak to about 50 of y'all that's under pressure right now. That you got a few more things going on than what you like to be going on in your life. Is there about 16 people in this place right now that will say, help, I'm under pressure right now. I might look okay today. I might look good. smell good, dress good, but you don't understand the pressure that I'm under. I'm under pressure. God's trying to do something in my life. I'm trying to figure out what it is. But all I know, they say pressure busts pipes. But when you look at the ability of pressure, pressure makes coal into diamonds. Right? Pressure is how a woman gives birth. A woman gives birth under significant I'm going to show you how pressure will help you to graduate to the next season of your life. And no matter where you are in life, you must be able, watch this, to handle pressure. So Jesus tells Simon, the Satan has asked that he may sift you. I remember the conversation that God had with Job back in the day. That the enemy had been talking. So he says the enemy is that he may sift you. Now sift is to separate. Watch, sift is to separate the good from the bad. Sift as they sift wheat. Sift. Satan has asked that he may sift you, that he may separate you. That he may separate you. Watch this. That he might contradict you. Ooh, my Lord. That he might contradict your faith. That he might contradict what you believe God said. And he clearly told Simon Peter, when you return to me, watch this, meaning the pressure going to get to you so much, you're going to leave me for a season. That's why he tells Simon Peter, but when you come back to me, because you're sure enough going to come back. Strengthen everybody around you and let them know how you made it through the most pressurized season of your life. I'm trying to tell anybody that'll get this, that a part of your pressure is so that you'll have a testimony and you can strengthen people around. God uses pressure to crush, watch this, all of this will be available to you, and redistribute everything to its original form. God uses this with intent. Matthew 26:69, stay with me if you can and follow along in your Bibles or your phones or what have you. The Bible says, now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee, post Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you're saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. I love the fact that the New King James Version in the second denial says, another girl. I love that. Why? Because a woman sure enough can identify a man that she saw. A woman is not going to forget who she saw and when she saw him. So Peter did not, the Bible uses a woman with intent because women are very detailed. Are y'all with me, women? You're very detailed. You see stuff and you can describe it. You can walk past something and describe everything that it was because a woman is very detailed. So Peter runs into the second woman, this another girl. She says, this fellow also was with Jesus, but again, he denied it with an oath, and he said, I don't know the man. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are also one of them. Why? Because your speech betrays you. What you've been around him so long. Birds of a feather do flock together, and your conversation has become common to whom you've been walking with. So you really couldn't deny him if you tried to because you've been in his presence so long. Stay with me, church family. You've been in his presence so long, you're starting to talk like him. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am what? That I'm his own. The more I spend time with Jesus, the more I sound like him. The more I look like him. The more I talk like him. Your speech betrays you, Peter. Then he began to do something that was out of character. He began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Let me break this down like this. What is so important in your life? Proximity and presence. Proximity. Distance between you and Jesus. Distance, proximity, and the presence of God. Here's what happens in Peter's life in this particular instance, both in the natural and in the spirit. As Peter is following Jesus, Peter is following Jesus to see where they will take him. So he's on the pathway with Jesus, but on his way, he gets disturbed and stopped. So they're talking to him as he's trying to follow Jesus. Watch this. Eventually, Jesus is out of the picture, meaning he no longer can see him via proximity. He's no longer in Jesus' presence. And now he begins to get questioned. Because watch this, the further you get out of God's presence, the further you get away from the proximity of our Heavenly Father, the more this impacts you in a negative manner. Oh, my. The further you get away from him, the further you get away from following him, where all of a sudden you can't see him any longer. And then all of a sudden, Peter gets into a place where it's now about Peter. His denial is about him. He don't want to get in trouble. It's no longer about Jesus. It's about him. Stay with me, church. Stay with me. Because I asked this question, how close of a relationship do you have with Jesus? How close is your relationship? Maybe you got a Sunday relationship. You got a Sunday relationship, meaning you come to church. You come to church, but your relationship, watch this, is shallow and it's malnourished. Shallow. It's only based upon one day a week. You eat more than one day a week. You've got to be in the presence of God. I'm talking about those of you who know Jesus, okay? Those of you who know Jesus have to spend time in his presence or you become malnourished. That's a shallow relationship. Some of you have a provisional relationship. Provisional. It's one-sided. It's just one-sided. It's all about what he can do for you. It's provisional. It's all about if God can do something for you, y'all cool. But if ain't nothing happening in your life, you far away from him. If everything is working out in your life, you show up on a Sunday. If all hell is breaking loose, we don't see you for about 8 weeks. Happy Family and Friends Day in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm just going to preach the word like it is. Amen. Some of you, watch this. Write it down if you can. You have a panoptic relationship. Watch this. A panoptic relationship. What does that mean? You see Jesus in his totality. You see Jesus and you understand in the living Father that everything that you need is in him. Oh, my Lord. You're not really concerned. Yes, you're excited to get to church. You're excited. But you don't need Sunday to have a relationship with Jesus. Is there anybody in here that don't need to come to church just to have a relationship with Jesus? I'm talking about a living, breathing, thriving relationship. And pressure comes when you get away from the Father. Pressure, applied pressure. Watch this. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I want to walk you through this. Therefore, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run, somebody say run, with endurance the race God has set for us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Let me tell somebody in this place right now, you're under pressure. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You say, Pastor, that's very simplistic, but you must do it. Keep your eyes on. It's not comfortable to be under pressure. That's a very uncomfortable place to be. But Hebrews 12 speaks to us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Watch this. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Why? Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Pressure reveals what has yet to be extracted. Oh, my Lord. Pressure reveals what has yet to be extracted. Let me break it down like this. Peter found out that there was still too much Peter in Peter. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Because pressure revealed something about him that he probably thought he had been delivered from. But he realized when he no longer was in the presence of Jesus that he became somebody he didn't want to be. Oh, my Lord, Jesus. So he realized that there was too much him still there. Ooh, don't y'all look at me all saved and sanctified. How many of you would honestly say there's still too much of you in you? Ooh, Jesus. And that has to be, watch this. So God uses pressure to get you out of you. He uses pressure to literally deliver you from you. To deliver you from the way you think, the way you process, the way you act at times, the way that people are still getting on your nerves. God's trying to deliver you from you. He's trying to deliver you from your stinking thinking, the way that you think at times, the way that you treat people at times. I know you love Jesus, but you've not arrived yet. So you're still trying to deal with you. You're still shadow boxing. It's still every day. Your biggest appointment is it's not your boss. It ain't your wife. It ain't your friends. It ain't your kids. It's you. It's you in the mirror. It's you. You're trying to get out the way. Some of you are trying to get out the way, out your own way. Pressure. God uses that. Pressure. Yell pressure. Yell pressure. Pressure will cause you to function in denial. Pressure will cause you to function. No, that ain't really happened. No, that did happen. No, that did happen. No, you are arrogant. No, you are. Stop. Yeah. God will use that. God, pressure will make you face some stuff that you don't want to face now. You'll be facing some stuff. You'll be like, man, you know, you can't live in denial. You just can't. Sometimes you just got to face where you are in life. You got to just face it. You can't be like the ostrich with his head in the sand. You got to get your head out of the sand and just say, you know what, this is the place that I'm at. Some of you right now, listen, you love Jesus. You know who Jesus is, but you're not in a good relationship with him. You're just not. What has happened is that you have allowed the pressure to drive you away. You've allowed the pressure, so it's hard for you to get into prayer. It's hard for you to talk to God. It's hard for you to read the word because you're under pressure. And you're like, Lord, if you relieve this pressure, then I'll be able to talk to you, sit with you, read your word. But he's trying to say that the ingredient and the answer to relieving your pressure is in me. Keep going, Pastor. Keep going. Somebody say rest. Is there anybody in this place that needs rest? Anybody? Anybody just need rest? Anybody just say, I'm just tired. Anybody just get tired every night? Anybody get tired? The Bible says don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary. But some of you all are just tired. So I got an answer for you, biblically speaking, here in Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 1, it says, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed on the seventh day. Say the seventh day. God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he declared it holy because it was the day when he had rested from all his work of creation. And if you're like me, and some of you are, I am saying to myself, God don't need rest. Because he's God. God don't get tired, right? He don't need rest. So I began to study a little bit deeper. So I began to look at rest and apostasis, which means to rest. It's cessation. It's an intermission. I began to look at Shabbat. Some of you know that's a Jewish word, Shabbat, a day of rest and abstention from work, right? Usually recognized on the seventh day. That's why they call Sunday the day to rest, the day to keep it holy. And then Zakur, another Jewish word, which means to remember. Sum all that up, Pastor, sum all those words up. What that means is that, watch this, God on the seventh day took an intermission for observation. Oh, wait. So I'm trying to draw this thing to you. So your rest is for you to observe what God's already done. Wait. So your rest is not for you to chill and do nothing. When you rest, you observe on the works that have already been done. Because God was so bad that it just took him 6 days to create the earth in its entirety. And he took the seventh day to watch over what he created, just to look at it. He wasn't sitting down. He wasn't shut down. He was looking at what he had created. Help him, Pastor. So a part of your rest is for you to rest from what you've spoken. Oh, man. Okay, draw this home. Watch this. Isaiah 40, you need this just as a study guide. Because we talk about the Lord not needing rest. Isaiah 40, 26, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. You in this place today, you don't have any might. To those who have no might, he increases your strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait, come on somebody, on the Lord, but shall renew their strength. Come on now. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Tap somebody and say, wait. Waiting denotes, watch this, both a place of rest and expectation. Waiting. So when you're waiting, it is both rest and expectation. It is not shutting down. As the people of God, let me tell you, people of God, you never shut down. The Bible tells us to pray without what? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? You pray without ceasing. Even when you're sleeping, you want your spirit alive and praying. Even when you're sleeping, that's why it's important to pray before you go to bed. Those of you that are being attacked by nightmares and dreams, you got to speak to your sleep. Those of you that are not sleeping, you got to speak to your sleep. Before you get in that bed, you got to say, by the blood of the Holy Lamb of Jesus Christ, I am going to get good rest. I'm going to be covered. I'm going to be refreshed from the time that I wake up. And I come against anything that's going to try to hinder my sleep in the name of, am I helping anybody in this place today? You got to speak that. Why? Because you need that. You human, you need rest. You need it both physically and you need it spiritually. You're either in two different places. Some of you are in a season of work. Some of you are in a season of rest. You're in a season of work. Watch this. A season of work. This is going to be good, everybody. Everybody tune in. A season of work is creation by words. Watch this. A season of work means it's a creation by words, because words create worlds. Ooh. Words create worlds. So some of you are in a season of work. You're creating your world by words. Others of you are in a season of rest. You are observing all that God has done in your life. But it's so important that you're speaking properly into the atmosphere. I'll come back to that in a minute. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 tells us this. Come unto me, what? All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. I will give you the ability to create by your words. I will give you rest. Rest doesn't mean shut down. Rest means being sharp in your mind and being able to speak into the atmosphere and being able to declare life, health, and strength. That's what rest means. Rest is not, he's not talking about that rest where you sleep. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, Proverbs says, so shall thy poverty come on you like an unarmed man. So important that we're resting properly. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Say rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is just not interested in giving you external rest. He wants to give you internal rest. He wants to give you rest in your mind, and rest in your emotions, and rest in his will. There's something about resting in God. There's something I want to just talk about real quickly for those of you that are under significant pressure: the power of your words, the power of what God gave us. When he went to the right hand of the Father, there was a transference of power. And many of us are not using the power that was transferred to us on the cross, because when he died and went into Hades for 3 days, Revelation tells us by the on the island of Patmos, John gives us the revelation that, behold, it was I who was once dead but is now alive, and behold, I hold the keys to Hades and to the grave. He is the champion of our faith, and we got something that's been inherited because of what he did. Mark 11, 20 says this. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not, here's the key, doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have, she will have, whatever he says. What you just saw me do was I cursed the fig tree because the fig tree wasn't producing. It was only producing leaves, but the fig tree is supposed to produce fruit. God used this, watch this, as a type of supersessionism. Supersessionism, meaning, watch this, the old covenant was no longer, it was about the new covenant. This was when the Jews who are inherited to Jesus, we serve a Jewish Jesus, but this is when us as Gentiles have been grafted in. We've been grafted in by what Jesus did, so we don't have to be born Jewish. That's a whole nother sermon in itself. But because of that, there's supersessionism. God has given us the right to walk hand in hand with him in Christ Jesus, watch this, and to be able to speak to things. So you can speak to the pressure that you're under. Oh, my. Keep going, Pastor. Keep going. Is anybody getting anything this morning? Oh, my Lord. Because watch this. Many mountains in your lives have been self-conceived. Much of the pressure that you're under, you spoke. Much of the pressure that you're being susceptible to, you spoke it into the atmosphere. Because watch, when I'm under pressure, I say and create things unintentionally. When I'm under pressure, I start saying stuff. Ooh, my Lord. Peter didn't want to say what he said, but he was under pressure. Don't y'all act like you ain't never said nothing you wasn't supposed to say because you were under pressure. It's something about pressure. It's something about pressure revealing what's in you, everybody. And it's a good thing that you go through pressurized seasons in your life. Okay, let me speak to anybody who has overcome a pressure point in life and how God elevated you from that place of pressure. Are you here in this place right now? Has anybody encountered a season of pressure and you watch God do something that you know? You know you could not have seen God do what he's done unless you had been under pressure. So we don't ask for pressure, but we know pressure's coming. Why? Because God wants to graduate you. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to. Some of you have been in the season that you in too long. So what God does is he starts turning up the heat. Why? Not to maim you or to hurt you, but to get you out that season. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Somebody say, speak to the mountain. But the most challenging mountain to speak to is one who is familiar with your voice. A mountain that's familiar with your voice, meaning you said that 1,000 times with no meaning. You said that a whole bunch of times, but you had doubt in your heart. And so now the mountain has become familiar with your voice. And that's when you've got to retreat and get with the Heavenly Father. See, some of you got to change your language. It's become stale. It's become ordinary. It's literally like the enemy has caught on. You need a Romans 12:2 when you got to have your mind refreshed. You got to think differently. You got to process differently. When you think and you process differently, you speak differently. Oh, my Lord. You remain the same when nothing fresh is coming into your mind. Part of your problem is that all your friends are stale. They don't have no hopes and no dreams. And what's happening, it's getting on you. It's starting to mess. You trying to get a master's. Why you doing all that? You don't need to do all that. You good with where you are. Listen, you listen to that enough, it'll get on you. It'll stick to you. You have to be careful about who you're being, who you're around. Because remember, like I said, words create worlds. And a part of your pressure is to dismantle what you've spoken. I'm never going to get healed. This diagnosis is always going to be on my life. It runs in our family. I'm never going to lose weight. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have kids. I'm never going to get another degree. I'm never going to get a raise. I'm never going to find a good church home. I'm never going to have a good friend. Understand, all of these you're giving life to. All of these words you're giving life to, and then as you give life to them, that life becomes pressure. See, you can create worlds whether they're positive or negative. That's why I said earlier, many of you are fighting what you spoke. You need rest. God's been better to you than oftentimes we give him credit for. Oftentimes we don't give Jesus enough credit for what he's already done. Sometimes we don't thank God for the little things. Let me just speak to you. We don't thank God for the little things, just for just being saved. How about just for being saved? Those of you in this uncouth world that we live in, anybody just happy just to be saved? Just to be saved. And sometimes you have small reminders like those old photos. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those old photos of who you used to be. Has anybody ever looked at an old photo and said, thank God that I'm saved? Has any woman ever looked at an old photo with an old boyfriend and said, thank God? Oh, God. Can't imagine what my life would be if I was still with him. Somebody say, I need rest. You need rest. You need rest. It's time to create. It's time to create. It's time to create. You need rest so that you can create, so that you can speak. You need rest. You need rest. It's a mindset. It's a way that you speak. It's a way that you talk. It's a way that you process. You can only get that from rest. It's time to create again. It's time to speak life again. You have to have a culture that speaks to winning. The Jesus culture that we serve is about winning. Yes, you're going to have some losses. Yes, you're going to have some heartaches. Yes, you're going to have some difficult times. But at the end of the day, we win. Come on, somebody. At the end of the day. I'm so proud of my spiritual son, Bill. So proud of this man of God. Just took up on a head coaching job at Hickory High School there in PA. And they had won how many games last year? They won 2 games all of 2018. Bill comes in there, becomes the head coach by the glory of God. That's a testimony in itself. They've already won how many games? They've already won 5 games. 5 games. They already won 5 games. They've already made the playoffs. They've already made the playoffs. But what has happened is that Bill understood that he's got to change the culture before we play 1 game. Okay, well, I got to change the culture. I got to change the way they think. I got to, because it, when you've been on a team that has been losing, you can take up on the culture of losing. And you expect to lose. That's why you need somebody to come in and say, listen, I know y'all might have lost in the past, but y'all going to win before we play 1 game. Y'all need to know we're going to win, because it's the way that you think. It's the way that you process here. Somebody say, I got to win here first. You got to win here first before you do anything. You got to be able to see this thing. If you want to be married, you got to be able to see yourself married. If you want to be promoted, you got to be able to see yourself promoted. You got to see that thing before that thing comes up, before it bursts itself. Amen, everybody. Amen. Jeremiah 18. We're going to round home right here. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. Say the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my word. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Something jumps out at me in this New King James version of Jeremiah 18, because when he says, and the vessel that he made was marred. Stay with me. It was marred. It was what? It was impaired. the quality of it, watch this, was not of original quality. It had been marred. Watch this. You're going to say something, and then I'm going to tell you exactly why you said it, when you said it, and the purpose of you saying it. But look at somebody and say, you've been marred. So the potter and the clay, he is the potter. We are the clay. The Bible says through the prophet Jeremiah that he looked, come here, Brian, he looked at what he made. He saw what he made. So you all know, anybody that's seen like a potter make clay, you notice it's on a wheel, right? And he has one hand on the inside of it, shaping it, what? From the inside out. And the other hand on the outside, shaping it from the outside in. And the potter is shaping the clay, watch this, according to his design. And as he shapes it to his design, the Bible says in Jeremiah, I look at the clay that I made, and it had been marred, meaning it had been tampered with. Meaning somebody had illegally spoken in to what I had made. Somebody didn't have permission to taint what I made. And so God says, whoa, 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 whoa. I made you. I shaped you. And I shaped you by design. But you've been marred because you've been marred. If anybody has spoken anything into you that was not of God, that has changed the form of who you were created to be, you've been marred. You've been illegally tampered with. And what did he say he did? He said, well, so what I did is I crushed it. Oh, my. Is anybody getting that in this place right now? So what I did is I crushed it. I crushed him. I crushed him. I crushed him. And when I crushed him, he's now under pressure. I crushed him. He's now under pressure. Why? Because I'm forming him again. Oh, my Lord. Wait. I'm forming him again, and I'm shaping him to who I originally designed. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. You better lean on somebody and say, God got this blueprint. God got this blueprint, baby. God got this blueprint. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm being created again. I'm being shaped again. I'm being molded again. I'm about to go to the next place in God. He got one hand on the inside, another hand on the outside, and he's shaping me. I crushed him. So see, so many of y'all that's under pressure, what happened? You got crushed. You got crushed. You got crushed. No, you get no. You have, no, not to kill you. No. To make you better. To make. Because people have illegally tried to shape you into something that you were never created to be. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but some of you are under such significant pressure because you're trying to live up to what everybody thought you were supposed to be. And you said, leave me alone. I just want to be who God created me to be. I'm not Superman. I'm not Batman. I'm not the Black Panther. I'm not Wonder Woman. And I heard a woman say that was old school. I'm not your Superwoman. I'm not the kind of girl that you can lay down and think that everything's okay. Boy, I'm only human. Y'all be ready for that. I can't be somebody that I was never intended to be. I don't like this pressure, Ron, but I figured out what he's doing. I figured out what he's doing, Mario. He's not killing me. He's shaping me. Because some type of way, I let this world get included in my shaping, and I cannot do that. The problem with social media is it contradicts the word of God for your life. You're looking on social media, and if you're not careful, it'll make you desire stuff. It makes you desire stuff and look at stuff. And so much of the stuff that you see is perpetrated. It's perpetrated. It's not even real. And you don't realize that God didn't design that for you. You say, God, you're crushing me. See, somebody's figuring this out today. Somebody's figuring this out. Why the intensity is so hot. Somebody's figuring this out today. They're saying, so this is why. This is why I'm going through so much. This is why, Rhonda. This is why Gloria has been telling me so much of what's been happening in your life. Yeah. The thing about it is that it's not about them. It happened to them, watch this, but it's about you. It's about you. And you got to be careful, because don't lose your faith. Don't lose your faith through this crushing. It's not about them. No. They're vessels around you. When God shaped you from the inside out, he already had created everything that was going to be attached to you. Everything that was going to be attached to you was already created. So that's why he made you a little finer in certain areas. See, some of y'all can take more than what others can take. It's because of the design that you have. The Bible says he'll never put more on you than you can bear. It's because of your shape. Somebody say, I'm made in the image of God. The Bible says, I'm fearfully. I'm fearfully bride and wonderfully made. Fearfully. Watch this. Meaning God took his time with me. You want me to be somebody overnight. You want me to be somebody overnight that God took his time with. That's why sometimes we can be so hard in relationships, sometimes even married couples. You're trying to change him. She's trying to change you. Listen, God molded them in a certain image. What you make a commitment to is to the molding of God. You make a commitment to that. And so, yeah, you realize there's some areas in their life that still need molding. But can I tell you something? You can't mold them. The problem is you trying to do God's job. You can't mold him and you can't mold her. You can't shape him, you can't shape her. What you can do is you can go to your prayer closet and say, Father God, you can't be done with him because he a mess. I see spouses laughing at one another like, yeah, he talking to you. Another one said, he talking to you too. Believe you me now. Don't get it twisted. Is anybody getting something this morning? Come on, somebody give God some praise in this place. Come on, give God some healthy praise in this place. Come on, grab somebody by the hand right now. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Come on, grab somebody out by the hand. Look them in the face and tell them, help! Come on, look at the other person on the other side. Look at them and tell them, help! Tell them, help, help, help. Now look unto the hills from which your help cometh from. From the Bible says that my help cometh from. Look at the hills and say, help, I'm under pressure. right now. Somebody got a diagnosis. They under pressure. Somebody's going through some marital strife. They under pressure. Somebody's going through some employment strife. They under pressure. Somebody's spiritually off course. They under pressure. It's under pressure. Altar workers, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. If I'm talking to you out there, and I know I am, there's many of you this morning, and you're saying, Pastor Locke, I'm under significant pressure right now. Significant. I'm under pressure. I need prayer. I want to agree, which means I just want to speak somebody. I want somebody to pray with me about this pressure that I'm under. I want you to run to these altars right now. Come from right in those aisleways right now. Come on, come quickly, come quickly. Run down to this altar if you can and find a prayer partner who will touch and who will agree with you. And just saying, I'm under pressure. Pastor, I'm under pressure. I think we need some down there. Need some women down there. Awesome. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Come on, team. I don't want you to be backward out there. There's more of you. There's more of you out there. There's more of you. I want you to come to this altar and to say, I'm under pressure, Pastor Locke. I want somebody to pray for me right now. I'm under so much pressure. Thank you so much. Just walk out from the aisleway with you. So I want somebody to just pray with me.
Behold the beauty of your face.
Still coming. It's still coming. It's still coming. Still coming. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
If I can just pray.
Yes, Lord. A lot of people come down to the altar. Can't read. I want to use you. Pastor West, I want to use you.
Still believe. I will just
no, she can stay right here. She can stay right here. I got somebody coming
Lord,
right now.
I will be home.
Awesome. We got right here. Still fantastic.
Believe.
Awesome.
I will just praise.
Awesome.
Praise at your feet. Right here in your presence.
It's a beautiful man. Mary Boyd. Evangelist Mary Boyd. Let me use your daughter. Right here.
If I can just press,
if I can just press
in your presence, behold the beauty of your face.
Pray. We got one. We got a woman down here.
If I can just press,
bless the Lord.
Press in your presence.
Press in your presence.
Bless the Lord.
Never leave this place again.
If I can just
press, if I can just press,
press in your presence.
Press in your presence.
Yes, God.
Leave all my cares behind me.
Behold.
fact that you are here today. Hear me, everybody in the building. You've been a victim of improper words coming against you. And if you'll be honest with yourself, many of those words have had a tremendous impact upon you. And they somewhat shaped you into the place that you're in right now. Listen, this is difficult. I know it is. But you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I've been a victim of those words. And so much of what you were speaking about, they've literally tried to shape me, form me into this person that I was never created to be. Who am I speaking to? And you're saying that's you. Something's going to happen both in the spirit and the natural. But you're just not raising your hand. This is going to be bold. This is a very bold altar call right here. Okay? Very bold. Every one of you that got your hands raised, meet me right here. Meet me right here in the middle. I want you all right there in this row. Just give them room. Just give them room. They're going to need it. All of y'all in this row right here. All of you beautiful leaders, just give them some room as they come. You've been a victim. You've been a victim of words. And many of these words have shaped the person that you are today. You've just been a victim. These words literally have crushed you. Now something's going to happen, spirit. So I need each of you. I need you to do this with boldness. Okay? The image and the picture that I gave you is what the Lord is speaking to me now. Okay? He's the potter. We're the clay. So what he does, he puts his hand inside to protect everything on the inside so it shapes and forms into what he created to be. But he also takes his other hand and he forms the outside. One of the reasons he does that is to make sure that he shapes it accordingly, but also to protect it. To protect it. And what has happened is that you've had an illegal intrusion into your shaping, into your making. So what I want you to do, because each of you are here because God has crushed you. He's crushed you. Why? Because he's forming you. He's reforming you. He does that. Yes, you're created in his image one time. But what happens is stuff in life causes God, and he just reshapes us. Saves the edges off. So what I want you to do, each one of you that have come with this reason, is I want you to, and you can do it slowly, I want you to begin to turn around as though you are clay. Yeah, just begin to turn around. Yeah, that's it. And in the spirit, you're being reshaped. That's it. Begin to, come on. You'll feel it. You'll feel the power of God. That's it. Those words, every word that's been spoken against your life, every word that's been spoken over your life, I do decree and I do declare health, strength, and well-being. Come on, somebody receive that as you're turning around. As you're turning around, I believe God is turning everything in your life around. Every word that has been spoken over your life, keep this by the name of the mighty, matchless Jesus. Receive it right now. Receive it. Receive it. Every one of you say, I am who God called me to be. Nothing less than who God intended me to be. And I shall become the child of God that God destined me to become. In the name of Jesus, somebody say amen and clap your hands. You shall become. Literally suffocate under the, my Lord, Jesus, my Lord. Tell me your first name again, man of God. Tell me, Jeremy, right? Jeremy. Lift your hands, Jeremy. You have been severely crushed, man of God, says the Lord. Not only that, I hear the Lord saying you've been abandoned. a spiritual abandonment that has happened in your life. It's caused you to draw back. Now you're just getting into a season now where you're trying to reconnect. What most people don't know, though, is that you've been wounded. You've been broken. You've been hurt. You've been let down by some of the closest people in your life, people that you had trusted and that you adhered to. They've broken the bond of trust. And what those people don't know is that you had already told them for them that you would never trust deeply again. And you trusted deeply again and got hurt, got wounded, got broken. You've been wondering to yourself over the last number of weeks, why is it that I keep coming back? Why do I keep coming back when I said I was done? See, people see the gifts and the talents that are on you, Jeremy, but they don't know the pain that you're suffering with silently. They don't know that there's been an attempt by the enemy to steal your gifts. And a part of that attempt has been health. Ooh, my Lord, there it is right there. That even your health has been attacked. Oh, by the blood of Jesus, right now, I just cover you. You've been so hurt. You're a broken man right now. Hear me, hear me. I hear the Lord saying to you, hear me, I can heal the broken pieces. The pieces are exactly where they would be. And you're in a season right now where I hear God saying, he's not the only one, but I hear God saying, it's healing time. It's mending time. Gone through the crushing, now get ready to get molded again, to get shaped again. I speak replenishment, restructure, recompense over your life right now. Everything that's been stolen that belongs to you, I speak it right into your life now in the name of Jesus. If I'm speaking to you, I would say I receive that in the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Honey, Lord, speaking to you. Bless your name, Jesus. Did you get something today? Did you get something today? You'll never look at pressure the same. You'll never look at pressure the same. You'll understand the intent of God within the pressurized situation. I've done my best, you know, over different pressurized seasons to lean and to live on the word according to Romans 8:28, that all things work together. All things. God uses any and everything I've been through, and he works it together for his good. Amen? For his good. He's beyond to God for what he has done in this house. Praise be unto God. All be praying for us, both the church family and even those of you maybe just here visiting today. Would you all pray for us, you know, as we wind down the last couple of weeks, next Sunday and the following here, and then transition to 1:14 and again back into two services, 8:30 at 11 o'clock. Just looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. We got some big meetings coming up this week with regard to the property. I would appreciate your prayers and such. Looking at all the plans that are necessary for this next season in our life. And again, please, you can begin to sow and sow toward it. I'll be coming to you all probably within the next number of weeks, letting you know the cost of the project. I've held that back because I don't know the exact numbers yet. So once we do that and we finish with the contractors and such, then I'll bring that number to you, and then we'll raise those dollars cash, or raise those dollars cash and get the project done. Amen. Y'all with me? Amen. Amen. Anything, honey, before I speak the blessing? Lift your hands all over the building. Bible study, of course, Wednesday with everything else. Victory Family Night. Look forward to seeing you there. I'm going to make my way out to the hallway along with my wife and try to love on as many of you as possible. Praise be unto God for all that He has done in our lives. As your hands are lifted and your eyes are open, we want to speak the blessing into you. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names in all the earth. And we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to. Here's the key. That's God intended for your purpose. We bless you in the crushing, in the pressurized situation that you're in. We bless you in this season. May God develop you into whom you were intended to be. I bless you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I tell you each week, certainly financially, existentially, we bless you. We tell you each and every week, it never gets old. God's given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live the very best that we can. Along the way, we're going to be excited, energetic. We're going to be full of life so much so that we do what? Give somebody a high five, handshake, hug on your way out. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday.